This is Let's Talk Exascale. I'm your host, Scott Gibson, from the Department of Energy's Exascale Computing Project. A particle accelerator is a machine that uses electromagnetic fields to propel a beam of elementary particles, such as electrons or protons, to very high speeds and energies. These machines are applied in many areas of fundamental research, having directly contributed to many Nobel Prizes in physics and in chemistry, medicine, and physics with X-rays. Particle accelerators are also used for radiotherapy to treat cancer, produce short-lived medical isotopes, perform medical and pharmaceutical research, fabricate microcircuits, and irradiate food, a technology that improves the safety and extends the shelf life of food by reducing or eliminating microorganisms and insects. Particle accelerators are even important to maintaining national security, in that they're used for cargo inspection, nuclear stockpile stewardship, and materials characterization. A barrier to progress in accelerator application development is the size and cost of the next generation machines. Alternative and sustainable techniques are very much needed. This is where the idea for compact accelerators enters the picture. Among the compact candidates, so-called plasma-based particle accelerators could be game changers. However, developing the devices critically depends on high-performance, high-fidelity computer modeling and simulation. Researchers could use that tool to explore unanswered questions concerning the physics of the transport and acceleration of particle beams in long chains of plasma channels. The arrival of exascale computing presents an opportunity to tap into the speed afforded by the exascale systems to capture the full complexity of acceleration processes that develop over a large range of space and time scales in plasma-based particle accelerators. Researchers within ECP have been addressing that need by developing an application called WarpX. WarpX is a highly parallel and highly optimized application that can run on GPUs and multi-core CPUs. It includes the capability to balance computational workloads across the biggest supercomputers. Additionally, WarpX is a multi-platform code that runs on Linux, macOS, and Windows. Jean-Luc Vey is head of the Accelerator Modeling Program at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory and principal investigator of ECP's WarpX.
So the goal of the ECP WarpX project is to use some of the most impactful large-scale tools of science that are supercomputers to develop the next generation of another essential large-scale tools of science that are particle accelerators. Incidentally, particle accelerators are facing a dilemma that is similar to the one that supercomputers faced with CPUs in the last decade, where scaling up the technology is reaching its limits in terms of size, cost, and power consumptions. So just as the answer for supercomputer has been the so-called compute Cambrian explosion, with a more diverse ecosystem of microprocessors, the particle accelerator community is exploring new ways of accelerating particles much more efficiently. And one technology that is very promising is called plasma acceleration, where one uses a plasma, also known as the fourth state of matter, where atoms are ionized to create the conditions for electric fields that are many times larger than with conventional technologies. Now, the catch is that plasma are notoriously difficult to control and very complex. And this is where it requires high-performance computing and exascale, because it needs really the largest and fastest supercomputers.
Did the WarpX application exist before ECP?
Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that many of the methods that we implemented in WarpX were already developed in several codes that we wrote over the years, and that includes the predecessor of WarpX that was called Warp. But the answer is no, in the sense that WarpX was written from scratch in C++ using a portability layer developed in the MRX library on which WarpX is built, so that it has a single source code that can be compiled for various flavors of CPUs and GPUs. And by contrast, its predecessor Warp was a mix of Python and Fortran and run only on CPUs.
The work of the WarpX team has earned them a spot as one of the six finalists for the 2022 ACM Gordon Bell Prize, which is widely considered the highest prize in high-performance computing. The winner will be announced at the SC22 Supercomputing Conference in Dallas, November 13 through 18. WarpX was one of two finalists to use Oak Ridge National Laboratory's Frontier Exascale Supercomputer. The paper that outlines the science runs of the research is titled "Pushing the Frontier in the Design of Laser-Based Electron Accelerators with Groundbreaking Mesh-Refined Particle and Cell Simulations." on exascale class supercomputers. Henri Vincente, who leads a French research team collaborating with WarpX, described the journey that led to the project selection as a Gordon Bell finalist.
So the actual Gordon Bell team is mainly the result of a long-standing collaboration between the team of Jean-Luc at Berkeley and my team at Commissariat Energie Atomique, so CEA in France. And actually, this collaboration was initiated 5 years ago from now, when I founded my proper group at CEA and right after finishing my postdoc in Jean-Luc's group, so after leaving Berkeley. And since then, both of our teams have worked hand in hand in the co-development of the code WarpX and the use of WarpX on the largest machines to address tough physical problems that we encounter in high field science and accelerator physics. And more recently, the team was joined by other industrial and academic partners, so the Riken Computing Center in Japan, the Gensi Grand Equipement de Calcul Scientifique in France, and the industrial partners Atos and ARM. And these partners helped us a lot porting the code on ARM architecture, so on the Fugaku supercomputer. And I would like also to emphasize that there is a huge synergy between both teams, so the team of Jean-Luc and my team, regarding the modeling of the science case that we propose in our Gordon Bell submission. So actually, the Gordon Bell science case relies on a novel physical concept that is called a plasma mirror injector. And this plasma mirror injector has the potential to remove a major limitation of laser plasma accelerators and enable their use in promising applications, such as, for instance, ultra-high dose rate radiotherapy in medicine. And actually, the successful modeling of the whole physical system, so the plasma mirror injector and the subsequent laser plasma accelerator stage, was possible thanks to the combined expertise on accelerator modeling, so on the Berkeley side, so they are experts on the accelerator modeling, and plasma mirror modeling, that is a core expertise at CEA.
The previously mentioned paper revolves around kinetic plasma simulations. The supercomputers used for the efforts explained in the paper were Frontier at the Oak Ridge Leadership Computing Facility, OLCF, which is the world's first exascale system, Fugaku at Riken in Japan, Summit also at OLCF, and Perlmutter at the National Energy Research Scientific Computing Center, or NERSC. So what did the science runs on the machines entail, and what information did they yield?
So I'll start by giving a little bit of context on the science case that was performed as part of our Gordon Bell application. So this science case is related to a laser plasma accelerator that Jean-Luc already introduced, and that can be obtained by focusing a high-power femtosecond laser onto a gas jet. And these laser plasma accelerators currently offer the prospect of building much cheaper and much more compact accelerators than conventional accelerator technology. However, a major limitation of this accelerator is the low charge they currently deliver at high energies, which currently limits their range of applications. And the reason behind this limitation is that actually everything turns extreme with laser plasma accelerators. So their accelerating structure, which is made of a plasma at the high laser intensity, can be as small as a few microns. And therefore, it requires a high precision injector. So you need an injector that is capable to inject a lot of electrons on a micron scale. And so far, the simplest way that was found to inject these electrons in the laser plasma accelerator structure is to directly pick these electrons from the accelerating plasma medium, so the ambient medium, which is made of initially a gas. And so pick up these electrons and inject them into the accelerating structure. And so using this kind of techniques, you can in principle achieve a highly localized injection in the accelerating structure. But the problem is that the injected charge is inevitably limited by the low charge density that is made available by the gas, actually. So to overcome this limitation and level up the charge injected in laser plasma accelerators by up to an order of magnitude, we recently proposed a novel concept using a hybrid target, which is made of a solid part followed by a gas part. And the solid part offers order of magnitude more charge than the gas offer. And when illuminated by the laser, it can turn into a high-density plasma that is called a plasma mirror, which has the ability to specularly reflect the incident laser light. And after a reflection of the incident laser, so high-charge electron bunches can be ejected from the plasma mirror surface. And these high-charge bunches can be then further trapped into the laser plasma accelerator that is driven in the gas part of the target. So, well, this is simple in principle, so this is a simple concept, but as Luca will now explain, the big challenge has been to robustly model this target in simulation, and so this has been a real challenge from a computational point of view.
Yeah, well, the scheme that Henri has outlined is quite a challenge from the computational point of view. Well, to be fair, the core idea of the numerical method that we use to simulate it is not that difficult. We deal with a plasma. A plasma is a collection of charged particles that are interacting together. And to simulate that, we model the electromagnetic field on a grid. And then since there are a lot of particles in the plasma, we cannot simulate all of them. We use macro particles, each one representing many real particles to simulate the particles. These particles, they move according to the field, they generate currents, and these currents, they are used to evolve the field. This may sound simple, but in our case, it becomes very challenging due to, among other things, the size of the simulation. In order to model what happens at the surface of the solid target, we need to resolve very small spatial scales. But the acceleration process takes place on a much longer distance. And so we end up with a huge simulation with tens of billions or more macro particles. And we need the special numerical methods to deal with that mesh refinement, load balancing. I'm sure we'll go into more details later. And even with these sophisticated methods, we need top supercomputers to model this scenario. However, well, we need the results of these simulations. We need them to provide insights on the acceleration process. We need them to provide guidance for our experimental activities. We collaborate with experimental teams. In practice, what we do is that we model a certain scenario. We select the parameters and we look at the acceleration process. We look at the properties of the accelerated electrons, so how many electrons we have accelerated. And then we try to understand eventually what went wrong, what we can do to improve the results.
That was Luca Fidelli. The team implemented major innovations in the Warpex particle and cell or PIC code, a parallelization strategy for performance portability, a groundbreaking mesh refinement capability, and an efficient load balancing strategy. Axel Hubel, a research software engineer at Berkeley Lab and Warpex team member, provided some details.
That's really the exciting part and down to the meat of our Golden Bell submission. So for performance portability, our approach is really to have a single source code developed against the performance portability layer and improve this performance portability layer where needed. So if you look specifically in the landscape of US exascale machines, the US has converged quite strongly now for exascale for the first machines to GPU-based machines. So what we implemented in Warpex is that we have three backends for Intel, AMD, and NVIDIA GPUs, and the latter two are now on the floor and we can use them. And that's what we demonstrated in this paper. So we went to the top seven machines and ran on as many as we could get our hand on. Now the interesting part gets in there if you look internationally, because at exascale or pre-exascale, we also have the Fugaku machine, which is also a reduced instruction set machine, but it's fully based on ARM CPUs. And that's quite different because that's not a target that we have in ECP. So what was really interesting for us is to develop with our partners for the Golden Bell paper, a highly tuned version of Warpex that actually circumvents our portability layer and shows what is the maximum performance we can get out if we manually tune our code. And then compared it to that. And this now then we compare back to our current implementation. It's already inspiring how we can improve our portability layer to also be really efficient on this machine. And in that sense, it's not only a really large run and a great exercise, but it's really also inspiring and giving us feedback for future developments. Then the things that we present here really all go together. So mesh refinement itself is a capability that is really unique to Warp and Warpex. So it was mesh refinement itself is that you simulate parts of your simulation with different resolutions. For some science cases, this can be rather well done and is rather well understood. So for example, if you're solving a Poisson equation every time step, that's a global operation, that's pretty well done in current literature. The thing that we are doing here is we're solving electromagnetic particle cell. And the challenge here that comes with it is that we have to track radiative effects that persist over different time steps of the simulation. And for example, electromagnetic waves, they travel independent of sources over our simulation time. And when we start to refine parts of the simulation, we have to be extremely careful that we don't introduce any issues, for example, having different dispersion on a different refinement patch or creating artifacts between sources, traveling waves, and so on. And that's really a method that Jean-Luc is pioneering, already with WARP and now with WARP-X, and that we continue to push in the numeric side. And then with performance portability layers, we implement these individual patches to be efficient on GPU. Now, this can be a huge, huge win for plasma densities, as Luca already alluded to, because we have these parts where we have to have high resolution and then we want to propagate for acceleration for a really long time step. But there's way more where we want to have a fine resolved part is maybe 10% of the simulation, and we want to go really far and really stable for the accelerator. Now, this all then ties together with the last part, which is load balancing. And load balancing on GPU is relatively tricky on its own already, because for load balancing, you need multiple parts. The first thing you need is you need a cost estimate, right? How much time are you spending? And so we did over the last years already research, and we had a great paper in PASC 21 on that, how we can either directly measure costs on the GPU or find great surrogates for them to estimate costs of whatever we want a load balance to. I will go into detail that a little bit more in a second. Then we need to estimate what is the outcome that we get from rebalancing. So what would be the optimum that we can get out? And so we, for example, develop performance models for that to estimate that. Then we switch to a concrete distribution mapping. Do we want to do a space-filling curve? Do we want to just equally cut everything and distribute it independent of cluster geometry and networking connections? And then we actually do the load balancing, including mesh refinement, where we not only have to have this spatial distribution, but also this communication between different refinement levels of higher and lower resolution. And that makes it a really interesting challenge. And you see it all ties together. You have to have the performance portability layer. You have to have the implementation of mesh refinement. And all of that has to be load balanced to actually make sense and get you faster. And that's what we are demonstrating in this paper. And yeah, that's a really exciting part. And there's so many interesting research topics that we could already address for this paper, and that we show that we get a speed up, but we have way more ideas how we can go forward. So for example, what's really challenging is to estimate what is actually your cost, right? Is your cost runtime, or is your cost actually also a metric that includes the memory on your GPU that you want to take into account? Because you cannot arbitrarily scale fast running operations that take a lot of memory to one node, because it would just run out of memory. So there's actually multiple dimensions in there. There's also dimensions of the critical path of a parallel application that you load balance. So the critical path means what is the slowest running operation that you can, in a sequential part of an algorithm, actually distribute and parallelize on. So that's something that we also have to improve cost functions for. And multiple things in that direction. It's a really fun topic. And I'm really excited in Golden Bell actually could bring all these three topics together to see actually a real world benefit and a really challenging science problem.
The MeshRefined PIC code enabled 3D simulations of laser-matter interactions that so far have been out of reach of standard codes. But what exactly did these simulations accomplish?
I would say multiple things. Well, one thing is that these simulations provide us with a prediction for the properties of the accelerated electrons in certain conditions. And we'll be able to use this prediction to design upcoming experiments and to compare this prediction with the experimental results. Another point is that the results are quite encouraging. They show us that we can accelerate a substantial amount of charge. And this is very important for what we would like to accomplish. Ari has mentioned before radiotherapy, radiobiology. One of the applications that we have in mind is to use these electron sources to perform radiobiology experiments at ultra high dose rates. It is known in the medical literature that if you give a certain dose of radiation to a biological sample, it matters if you do that very quickly or very slowly. And this may one day be interesting for cancer treatment. We are far from that, but we would like to provide a tool to study this effect, and having a substantial amount of charge is necessary to be able to do that. And finally, these simulations have, validated the mesh refinement algorithm on a very large scale. In the future, we are planning to acquire computational allocation, computing time allocation on other machines. And now we know that we will be able to perform, thanks to mesh refined peak code at scale, we will be able to perform large parametric scans, parametric investigations of the scenarios we are interested in, including this electron acceleration scheme.
WarpX works closely with the ECP AMRX Co-Design Center and collaborates with ECP software technology teams. This is in keeping with ECP's team of teams ethos or character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, besides the science cases, which are really exciting us, I think that's probably one of the most enjoyable aspects of my work is that we are actually having these discourse, great collaboration. So in Exascale, just to give you the bigger picture, we have a central mission that is to deliver applications for Exascale machines that are working as a whole. And that means we cannot just go and make, for example, a small test case that is somehow using the machine. We actually want to deliver the whole functionality, starting from initialization of the simulation, going to running it, up to analysis at the end, visualization, whatever we need to get science results out of them. And this is where Exascale is really giving us a whole team of people that we can work with. So let me show you three aspects actually that we collaborate with. So first of all, you already heard about MREX, which is a co-design center in ECP. And what we do there is we have, for example, shared milestones with them. We work integrated, have shared positions as well that are integrated in our team and both help us, but we also help MREX by giving our challenges back and actually contributing solutions that we developed for WarpX to be shared with a larger ecosystem on the lower level basically of the software stack. Then we have software technologies that we just mentioned, and there we're collaborating actively with everyone that we need to implement our algorithms. So a good example, for example, is we integrate with the mathematical stack of ECP, which is FFTs for our advanced field solvers, which is linear algebra for advanced geometries. And this is about vendor libraries, right? So for example, vendors provide optimized on-node acceleration for FFTs, which you can then parallelize on. Then we have the IO stack. That's very important for us at the end to really distill out scientific data out of our runs. And there we're interacting, for example, with the Arduos team and the HDF5 team, but also with data reduction teams. So for example, compressors, lossy compressors, all of this is very interesting to us because the moment that we run at Exascale, we suddenly create 10 petabytes per simulation as output. So you really want to rethink how you do your simulation, how to get data out of this. And also there are sometimes conflicting constraints. For example, when you design your application and you would silo this without talking to the next step in your science case. So if your whole science case is, I want to run a simulation that has perfect load balancing and then creates output, for example, would not be ideal if we split up all our data just randomly over the whole cluster and then have to somehow collect the data together again in post-processing or in situ processing of that. So what we do is, for example, we inspire, for example, our load balancing strategies by needs that are needed then in I/O, because we cannot think the whole science run by just looking at the application runtime. We have to think of the whole thing. So that's a really fun thing, and that inspired the previous topic. Then visualization, in situ visualization, we have a great collaboration going on there that helps us, instead of storing 3D data at high resolution, just creating directly multiple camera views into our simulation and visualizing it on the fly, which is extremely insightful and extremely helpful. Then we go to wrap it all up. We go up to the packaging stack. We work, for example, with the spec team to have WarpX with all the dependencies that we might want to use. For example, the visualization I mentioned before, packing them all up and deploying them then by the E4S team on supercomputing centers, so that we can at the end, for example, have whole modules for HPC systems, and then we package to other packages as well. So yeah, that's the software technology interaction, and all of that what I'm describing here is actually following a philosophy in ECP that you could describe as teams of teams approach. And this is something that we also are happy to contribute and are involved with. It's the so-called Ideas ECP team, where we exchange across teams on productivity goals, on productivity approaches, on teamwork, and also evolving best practices by writing about them, sharing about them, and collecting feedback, and also adopting methods from other teams.
And what is the composition of the WarpX team?
So the we have a core team in ECP, which is centered around Lawrence Berkeley, then Lawrence Livermore, and Slack, which are already people that we work with around the WARP development as well. And so these are the ECP core team. And then we have a huge the set of contributors and core contributors that are just as equally valuable. So we introduced this already, and already introduced the collaboration we have going on with Lidl, CER, and France for a long time, where Luca and Henri are working. And so, for example, they were working on improving our code for the machines that we mentioned, like Fugaku, which are not in ECP scope, but also adding generally improvements on all levels, also working on adding physical effects, like QED effects that are not directly on our agenda, but are very important to get together into a PIC code. Then we have collaborators from Germany, for example, at DAISY in Hamburg, or at HCER in Germany, where we in Dresden, where we collaborate, for example, on I/O methods and on advanced and spin-offs from WarpX for specific use cases. And then we have contributors from CERN, for example, that uses for modeling there of cavities. And we have already also contributors from industry that say, okay, because your code is open source and we like the methods that we have, we will contribute to this new development because we use actually WarpX on the cloud for our modeling. We want to use cloud AWS GPUs. And if we add this small feature that we need here, or this specific feature, then it's useful for us. So we have contributors from Modern Electron and Intense Computing that contribute to our development and benefit indirectly again than HPC development, because we can use their developments as well. Now, personnel themselves is as diverse as the teams that I explained here just a second ago. So we have, of course, at our core, we have computational physicists that are driving and using the code, but we work very, very tightly integrated in our teams with applied mathematicians developing advanced numerics, and as well with computer scientists and research software engineers.
Any shout outs to recognize especially notable contributions?
Just like many top sports teams that have their superstars, whether in basketball, soccer, or other sports, the success is first and foremost the result of teamwork. And for WarpX specifically, the success is due to the complementary of an interdisciplinary team, as Axel already outlined a minute ago, with our outstanding skill and talents in few areas. So first area is supercomputing, programming and use, of course, essential for exascale. Also applied mathematics and numerical analysis. And very importantly and key to this team is the innovation in algorithmic and plasma-based accelerator physics. The combination of all of this is very essential. And the other key ingredient, of course, is the motivation that is animating the team. And one example of this motivation is the nonstop 8 to 12 hours marathon sessions on Zoom and Slack that occurred when computing on Frontier and Fugaku for the Golden Bell. It was both exhausting, but also exhilarating. It was really a lot of fun and great.
What's next for WarpX?
Our main focus right now within the Exascale Computing Project is to do plasma accelerator research with WarpX in the context of developing the plasma accelerator technology to the level where it can be considered for actual designs of future colliders, so-called atom smashers for high-energy physics. That's really the main focus here on the ECP side.
So regarding our plans, regarding WarpX at CEA, so our aim is to develop a new generation of extreme intensity lasers that can provide intensities much larger than what present laser technology can deliver. And so for this, we engineered a new kind of intensity booster based on plasma mirror that has the potential to intensify current high-power laser by more than three orders of magnitudes. And this makes accessible a whole new kind of experiments where we would like to explore the interaction of this boosted laser, so that we call Doppler-boosted laser, with a matter or even the quantum vacuum. And this will give rise to new fundamental regime of strong-field quantum electrodynamics that have been so far out of reach of even the largest particle accelerators. So this represents an immense fundamental prospect, and we plan to study this interaction by developing new modeling tools in WarpX.
So one of the projects that we are doing now with ECP going to an end in 2023-24, maybe. Oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't be about this. Sorry, I start again. One of the things that we do now to leverage the developments that we did with WarpX is to upgrade more parts of accelerator modeling codes that we maintain. So WAPX specifically, as you mentioned, is focusing in ECP on the modeling of laser wake field acceleration for colliders. But a whole particle accelerator, of course, has way more components. So for example, we have to model beam dynamics, transport, and in the end, also interaction, for example, between multiple beams in a collider. So what we're doing is we leverage the technology, reuse it for other codes. So we take MREX and WAPX routines and update, for example, codes that can do large steps that are good for tracking the beam dynamics, but they don't have to be sliced into small parts with radiation effects as WAPX can do. And at the same time when we do this, we also open up the ecosystem that we're developing in the sense of that we can couple WAPX and then its spin-off codes to be able to be integrated tightly with AI and ML.
And a few final thoughts.
Looking ahead, the PIG method that we implement in WAPX is really general purpose and open source, implementing a relativistic electromagnetic solver and solvers for that. And with the growing international users and developer base that we have from labs, academia, and industry, this has actually really a lot of applications ahead. So what's really exciting for us is to see that people really pick up our work already and we foster this growing number of applications. So for example, including other types of particle accelerators than plasma-based ones, but also things like laboratory or space plasma physics that is very close to the modeling that we can do. And as well, fusion components, fusion devices can be modeled with that, and we have users for that, or things like thermionics in industry and much more. So just going full circle, for example, the method that particle and cell is based on, for example, for wave propagation was originally used to model antennas. And so, for example, there's already one spin-off of WAPX that is using an evolved version of WAPX to study microelectronics and to build new silicon devices in the future.
Thanks to Jean-Luc Vey, Henri Vincenti, Luca Fideli, and Axel Hubel of ECP's WARPX for being on Let's Talk Exascale. And thank you for listening. Visit exascaleproject.org. Subscribe to ECP's YouTube channel. Our handle is Exascale Computing Project. Additionally, follow ECP on Twitter at Exascale Project. The Exascale Computing Project is a U.S. Department of Energy multi-lab collaboration to develop a capable and enduring exascale ecosystem for the nation.